In the 1970s, the Los Angeles Times published an article detailing a family who survived the killing fields in Cambodia and fled to US. Their son often experienced terrifying nightmares of being chased. He would try to stay awake for days at a time, but when he eventually fell asleep, his parents heard loud screams and discovered that he died during one of his nightmares. Sup, crimeys, you're listening to Crime with K. I want you guys to know that you are the most important folks alive in the whole world. Not kidding. I mean, totally amazing. I love the support that I do receive and your constant presence to ever make this podcast an even better experience. 2 months and the year is over. What have you achieved so far? If this is the question that is popping in your head or someone is poking at you, just feel this, that this year is not the question for like this. People have lost their jobs, lost their parents, lost their lives. It's absolutely okay to have achieved nothing of great significance this year. Just maintaining sanity itself is a very great achievement. With that, let's now get into the story. So here it begins. The 1980s was an era of nightmare fuel. Whether it's horrifying real-life disasters like Chernobyl meltdown or torment from fiction like Evil Dead movie, people had a lot to keep them up at night. But amidst the scares, both real and fictitious, there was one that took hold of our minds. A disfigured man, donned in green and red striped sweater, wielding knives for fingers, who terrorized and victimized his victims in their own dreams. His name was Freddy Krueger. And luckily for us, he isn't real. But before Freddy, there was a very real nightmare that stretched far beyond the quaint sleepy suburb of Elm Street. A very real pandemic that claimed the lives of many healthy men in their sleep without warning. The terrifying reality caught the attention of filmmaker Wes Craven and sparked his imagination to create one of the horror's most diabolical and memorable murderers. This nightmare doesn't begin in a suburban bedroom, but in the battlefields of Vietnam War. For decades, Vietnam underwent a governmental tug of war between France, Japan, and Soviet Union and China, until it was eventually slipped between a communist North and capitalist South in an effort to emerge both sides as communist country. The North infiltrated the South, resulting in US occupying South Vietnam to take stands to fight communism. In 1972, after a decade of devastating losses, the US pulled its troops out, leaving South Vietnam forces to fend for themselves. The rest of Southeast Asia was in utter turmoil. Tens of thousands of Hmong people were left devastated as Vietnam people and Laos became communist countries. Cambodia quickly followed suit under the control of Marxist dictator Pol Pot, the leader of Khmer Rouge. Concentration camps were established and mass genocide ensued, resulting in 2 million deaths, which was around 21-24% of population. In a desperate attempt to escape, 35,000 Hmong fled to become refugees in Thailand along the west coast of United States. They thought they got away from the worst of it when some of the nightmares had only just begun. The year 1981, a Cambodian family escaped genocide with plans to begin a new life in America. All seemed well when suddenly their son began making claims that something was haunting him in his dreams. He swore if he went back to sleep, he would die. The father gave him sleeping pills to no avail, and the boys stayed awake for days until he physically couldn't any longer stay awake. He fell asleep. The family thought the ordeal was over. That was until they heard his screams in the middle of the night. By the time they got to him, he was dead. He was never taking those sleeping pills. Instead, stuffing them underneath his pillow. He had a coffee pot hidden inside his closet. But this wasn't an isolated incident. Something very similar had happened years prior, 1977. In a healthy male Hmong refugee was found screeching and convulsing in his sleep before abruptly dying again. No explanation. Coroner struggled to pinpoint the causes of death. There was an autopsy which put down the cause of death as acute cardiac insufficiency. That is a fancy word of saying that they didn't know exactly what killed him. The only assumable explanation for why he died, he was frightened to death by a nightmare. Dr. Shelley Adler, professor in San Francisco, she shares her experiences and says that, quote, "I was living in Los Angeles in mid-1980s. I started noticing news stories on TV, also in the paper, about a group of people that was experiencing this sudden death, seemed to completely, healthily have no reason to believe that, I think, what happened to them and they were dying. It was so scary. It was completely mysterious. There was absolutely no idea what was really happening. And sometimes, when there's no idea in healthcare, what's happening, everyone has an idea. Were people being food poisoned? And then why was it only men who was dying? Nothing would explain why a group of otherwise healthy men were dying at this age, at this time, and only in their sleep. Eventually, on the name's sons, this event eventually earned the name SUNS, or also known as Sudden Unexplained Nocturnal Death Syndrome. The deaths continued to occur across seven states over several years, from California to Washington, with all victims dying in the same unexplainable way. All the deaths were among ethnicity and were preceded by heavy breathing, thrashing around their bed, and blood-curdling screams. By 1981, SUNS accounted for 19 deaths of Hmong men and one woman in US. This may not sound like a lot, but among Hmong population, only 13 deaths were reported in the same time frame, meaning that SUNS accounted for more than half of them, which was enough to alarm federal health officials, who commenced a national study. Naturally, the phenomena started making headlines with bold print words that read, "Night deaths of Asian men unexplained," expiring with a snap, and "Deaths of lost refugees puzzle officials." Dr. Shelley recalls, "A group of people, the Hmong refugees from Laos, when I started to talk to people, said that they didn't remember people experiencing this sudden deaths in Laos. But when they came to US as refugees, they were starting to see and experience these deaths. They didn't have any explanation for what was happening that would make sense. They told me from an American perspective, and they described attacks by an evil spirit, a nocturnal spirit that was scaring their souls away and causing them to die," unquote. For director Wes Cavern, however, there was so unimaginable that it could only be from a movie. With these unfortunate tales as his muse, he began pulling inspiration from his own life to form this new kind of terror. West recalled a traumatizing experience he had with a disfigured homeless man from when he was a child. The story goes that young Wes was lying in bed when suddenly heard a sound outside. When Wes looked, he got a glimpse of a man with burnt face wearing a fedora staring at him from under street lights. When he looked again, the man was still there and proceeded to taunt him. The SUNS phenomenon marred itself with imagery of the man he saw that night, and there West created Freddy Krueger, the spirits of a fiendish and perverted child serial killer murdered by avenging parents of his victims, whose evil spirits he wanted to torment and slay his prey in the deeply invasive realm of their own dreams. While Nightmare on Elm Street is only loosely based on Sun's epidemic, some strong correlations remain, most notably the story of young man whose parents neglected his plea for help, which is clear comparison to the film protagonist Nancy Thompson, as she and her friends experienced identical horrifying nightmares with many of their deaths following suit. Nancy forces herself to stay awake for days, drinking coffee and taking caffeine pills. Meanwhile, Nancy's parents refuse to believe her that there's a murderer in her dreams. A near identical story to the case with the boy that initially inspired Wes Craven. Nightmare on Elm Street went to be a runaway success in 1984, spawning an entire franchise to follow, and while it terrorized the dreams of generations to come, the reality of Sons still persisted. Having claiming the lives of 72 Laotian, Vietnamese and Cambodian refugees by the time of the film's release, and still with no explanation in sight, there are many different theories as to what caused Sons, and depending on the culture they teeter between science and supernatural, some Hmong believe their death were punishment for leaving their homeland inflicted by their ancestors, while others think evil spirits were killing men who didn't fulfill their religious obligations. Traditional Hmong religion believes that there are spirits throughout the world, and that a person's spirit or a person's ancestors, when they die, have spirits that protect their descendants. So everybody makes an effort to make sure that their ancestor spirits are happy and satisfied and are protecting them. And the reason for that is that there are also evil spirits that you want to be protected from. In a particular one evil spirit called Dok Cho, they call a nocturnal oppressing spirit. It's a spirit that comes to you at night, presses you on your chest, and makes it's really hard for you to breathe so that you can't move. What was explained is that when these young refugees needed to find a place to live, literally they didn't have those traditional structures. They didn't have the traditional shaman of the village to support them, and they didn't have their ancestors, great ancestors, to protect them. And those evil spirits who visited them and the laws, but they could protect themselves from, they were now vulnerable to. Health officials speculated that this was caused by enormous stress or cultural shock, that trauma resulted in high levels of anxiety and depression. Considering the terrifying conditions of genocide under the tyranny of Pol Pot, on top of trying efforts to adapt to the life in US, it's a reasonable explanation. However, it's impossible to chart the effects of stress since it is incredibly difficult to measure. The kind of stress we are talking about here is more sort of cataclysmic psychological stress. It's been simmering for a while, but then something happens to trigger it and really put your body at risk. So the foundation or the situation the refugees stress is that the terrible stress that Hmong people experience. So you have this underlying stress that when you're visited by this Daksha nocturnal spirit, that is what it puts it over this in this case, triggering the cardiac arrhythmia. And when there's Agent Orange, a deadly herbicide acid used by United States military during Vietnam War, which was intended to kill crops and food for the Viet Cong. for the duration of the US is a 9-year occupancy in Vietnam, over 20 million gallons were poured over its vegetation. However, it didn't only affect the crops, it also had severe side effects on the Vietnamese, including cancer, birth defects, miscarriages, and skin diseases. Given the harsh outcome of the chemical nerve agents, it's no wonder that some would point the cause of suns to the use of Agent Orange. Still, this theory has no concrete evidence. There was no evidence found, as pathologist Dr. Larry Livman commented, nerve gas doesn't work this way, and why would it only affect males during the night? Myth and legends such as Dagb's Sug or Night Hag began to resurface, a myth that's now associated with sleep paralysis, a symptom of being paralyzed while either waking up or just falling asleep, and often results in nightmares, hallucinations. But there's still no evidence to prove that it can kill someone. When people describe paralysis, they say, you know, I could see the room, I know I was awake. People are convinced that they are awake. They feel, but they can't move. They're aware that they can't move, and that involves having difficulty in breathing, and understandably panic sets, and you often visualize the sense that there's an evil presence there as well. And this very strange cluster of symptoms happens to people around the world when they have this sleep paralysis. It is completely safe. There is no absolutely nothing that can happen to you at this point of time. The only problem is that you're awake and you're aware of things that you should not be aware of. It's much better to be paralyzed when you're asleep than realizing it when you're awake. Sleep paralysis, which is a complete banging situation, gets elaborated in different cultures in different ways. Sometimes they can be helpful, some people feel inspired by this, but most frequently people are terrified by them. By 1987, there were 100 more victims in United States. Cases continued to 90s but began happening far less frequently, but it never stopped completely. In Southeast Asia, cases were reported as recently as 2014. In a dark, tragic way, sun's influence, one of the most iconic and beloved modern movie horror film franchises. If anything, knowing Wes Craven's source of inspiration makes Freddy Krueger all more horrifying, as does knowing that there's something really out there that, unlike Freddy, is completely unexplained. There's been countless theories over the years, and still there's no definitive answer for why these people died under these circumstances that they did, and that is a stark reminder that the truth can often be more horrifying than the fiction it inspires. That's about this week's Horror Dose from Crime with Kay. It was a really horrifying topic to cover, but it was really rewarding to make it, so I hope you enjoy listening to it. So until next time, stay safe, stay alert, and remember, always listen to Crime with Kay and not pop up as next episode on my podcast.